people didn't want to hear about that. They want a sense that you're really listening to them as an individual. And during the conversation that you have heard them. And I'm going to say that again, that you as a dental professional have heard them. And that in today's day and age with medical is not that common. Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Today's episode, I have as a guest, Lourdes Berlanga. She is from Los Angeles, California. Lourdes is Director of Practice Development with her particular office, and she also is Treatment Coordinator, and we're going to dive into those two roles as they are really very important for the growth and the maintenance of a practice. They're very important for the component of the overall patient experience. And we find that patient experience is what our patients are really looking for. So welcome to this episode, Lourdes. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah. Well, I discovered you on LinkedIn, and that's where I do a lot of the research and looking for guests on my podcast. I jokingly tell them that I am out prospecting for guests. And so I looked for posts on the line, and I ran across you and looked you up, and I thought, you know, I would like to visit with you, Lourdes. We had a onboarding conversation about a month ago, and so here we are. On your description of yourself in LinkedIn, I'm going to read this, and so I'll have you elaborate a little bit on it when I'm finished. You're a dental professional, committed and motivated by exceptional customer service and decision-making skills, who values high performance and professionalism. I love that. Explain that to us.
Let me give you a little bit of an introduction as to what I'm doing in the dental field. I've always wanted to be a doctor. Since I was a little girl, I used to read every single book that came across in front of me in regards to doctors. And unfortunately, I was not able to go to the university to become a doctor, a surgeon. That's what I wanted to be. But at age 18, I got in touch with dentistry. That, to me, gave me an opportunity to take care of people and be a healer like I wanted to be. So slowly, I started to learn from the very bottom of the dental field at cleaning instruments and just sterilizing, and then being an actual dental assistant and an RDA, and then an orthodontic RDA. And then I jumped into the front aspect, the administrative aspect of the dental practice, scheduling, financial coordinator, treatment coordinator, office manager. You name it, that's what I did. And then that gave me an in as to something that has fulfilled my life. And corny as it seems, I know that I told you that before. That's what I love about what I do. I love taking care of people. So because of that love that I have, I'm in trying to be a healer and bring that health benefit to our patients, then I have been able to learn a lot of collateral, if you would say, things that would help me do what I want to do. So I studied graphic design, visual communications. I studied all sorts of marketing and communication skills. And I can put all of that together. I can say I want to reach the most, the biggest amount of people, bring them to the office, because this is what we're doing for you, and this is not common. And how am I going to do that? Let me single out my niche. Let me see who I need to talk to. Let me explain what is it that we do and how we can benefit you. And I find that when I talk to other offices and when I talk to doctors, at the bottom of their heart, most doctors that are in business, and they share the same concerns that I do. They want to take care of people. So when I come across and I tell them, this is what we do, and we take care of your patients, and we can get them with pain, we can get them out of pain, and we can help them breathe better and improve their life, everybody's on board. What I've always wanted to do since I was little, and all the knowledge that I have accumulated over 30 years in the industry, in the practicing, kind of helps me get that message across.
You made a statement in there that you knew that you needed to learn and develop better communication skills.
Correct.
And once you did, from where you were, then to, let's say, where you felt like you had communication skills as such that you could relate with patients different. Was there something that stimulated your desire to want to learn communication skills, or was it just yourself, your intuitive self, your drive and your nature to want to get better at what you do to serve the patients better? Share with me, what was the force in there?
Oh, definitely. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a little bit of an accent. I'm from Spain.
You do?
So when I came, I found it very difficult for people to understand what I was saying. And I felt that the message will get lost in the communication style or the method, because American speaking, English speaking patients would just consider my accent very funny. And then Spanish-speaking patients, most of the patients that I talked to were not from Spain. So even though it's the same language, there's some differences in it. So I had to learn to speak differently to be able to convey the message, because the important part of what I wanted to do was convey the message. Just get that point across that I needed to get in regards to what the patients needed, how we were going to make it happen. So yes, definitely the need to be clearly understood had a big impact in how I changed the way that I communicated. I also learned very early on that in dentistry, we were going to get beyond having a book with a pencil to write down things and a ledger with cardboard. I said, dentistry is going way beyond here. We are going to a place, remember that when we first started with the internet, when we had an internet that would take a whole day to load up a page, and you had that little noise, remember that? Well, I saw that we were going to, there would come a point where we in dentistry will be using the cloud. We will be using a system that will be universal, will integrate all the different aspects of running a practice that will make it easier so we could concentrate and actually taking care of our patients. And I knew nothing about computers, so that's why it prompted me to go to school and get interested in and just learning the basics, at least, you know, Microsoft, the Excel, the Access, the word processing, all of those fun things, just to be able to get a jump ahead as to what I knew that we were going to be needing in the industry. And as I learned that those basic things, I learned more things. I learned what I didn't know about communicating more clearly and the ways that we could communicate and how to be more effective and how to choose your niche and how to address a specific campaign to reach the person that you needed to reach and get that message across. So definitely that little bit of a difficulty that I had initially when I was 18 to try and convey that message that I had, it prompted me to continue to learn and figure out ways to communicate and to be able to transmit that message, you know, to the people that needed to hear it or the people that I thought would benefit in different niches, different walks of life. So yes, definitely. That was what initiated the whole thing.
Let me ask you, from a curious nature, in my practice, I loved marketing, and I loved marketing externally. And I did it in a manner as such that none of my colleagues could be critical of the way that I marketed externally. I did it very professionally. I did it gracefully, but I went for it. And marketing externally was very successful for me. And I'm always curious with offices and with you being the director of practice development, I think marketing would fall underneath your category.
Correct, yes.
Share with me, from your experience in your offices, what has been the most successful marketing component that brought patients into your practice, the type of patients that you really wanted to have in your practice?
My all-time favorite, which is peer-to-peer, doctor-to-doctor. I think that when you show a doctor, we work with a lot of general practitioners or surgeons, periodontists. When you show a doctor that you are there to take care of their patients, and that doctor is a doctor that actually cares about their patients, when I communicate with the doctor and I tell them, this is what we found, this is what we're doing, this is what your patient is at, this is what your patient needs. And before the patient shows up, do you want to tell me why did you refer this patient to me? What is your main concern? What are the goals? You know, I find that doctors responded really well to that because they care about their patients. They want to know what's going on. They want to know you're taking care of them and they want to have a follow up. So that to me has been the best way of improving relationships with other practice and increasing your referrals. Because if a doctor likes the way that you're treating their patients and that patient is happy with you and they're happy with the doctor for referring them to you, it's just going to abound in everybody being more successful in their practice too. Not only the patients being taken care of, but everybody just ends up being more successful. Now, my most fun that I have ever done was a practice up in Northern California. And the niche that I was trying to reach was vineyard workers. I was trying to reach out to the people that work in the vineyards and offer a different kind of treatment, something that they were able to afford. And at that point, those people were not going to be reached by newspapers. They were not going to be reached by any of the things that I usually would have tried. So I researched the radio that usually sounds when people are working in the fields. What kind of music are they listening to? What kind of, what are they hearing? So I reached out to the most commonly radio station that all the people in the fields and in the plants, they work, their warehouses, all the workers were listening to. And I hired a campaign. I designed the actual ad that was going to be played. And I was also invited to do a few conversations like we're doing right now with the anchor person telling, you know, asking me questions about what do you think about bringing the children? What should we bring them? What age should we bring them? And that was amazing because I was able to explain, you know, orthodontics is not just for your kid to look pretty, but all the different benefits and for the children to be seen as early as possible to improve airway and all of those fun things. And I designed a campaign where we had two little girls that were going to prom and they were talking to each other about how one of them didn't like her teeth. The other one was telling her how she had found this place where they could help and her dad was able to afford it. And it was a really cute little spot, not too long. And I could tell the time when they played that spot in the radio, I could tell when they did because the phones would just go bananas. Every time they played that, like nonstop. And at one point, somebody in the radio station decided to change the format of the spot and stop playing what I had recorded, what I had written down. And they started to play some generic spot, just saying, go here and call this number. And then the calls decreased. And I'm like, what happened? So I started to listen to the radio station to see what happened. And then I realized they had changed the spot. And I called them right away and they said, well, but this is what we've always played and it worked. I'm like, it may have worked for you, but what I recorded and wrote down and I was there when we were recording it, it worked really well because it responded to the needs that people had. People wanted their kids taken care of and they didn't know how to do it and they didn't know if they could afford it. And that little spot of 3 minutes told them, yes, you can make your little girl happy. She can go to prom and have a beautiful smile. And yes, you can afford it. And we welcome you. And you change it to just go here, you know. So you really need to know who you're talking to, who your listener is, who you're trying to address and reach, and what their needs are and what they want and what their heart tells them that they need. And once you do that, that's it. You don't need to do any more than that, you know. The message comes across and that's all you need.
So as you're telling me the story, I'm trying to figure out what the difference was between the message that you recorded and wanted posted or played over the radio station versus the one that the radio station edited for themselves. And by listening to you, it sounds like you had the emotional component
exactly
in your message that we're going to take care of your children. They're going to love their smile. Therefore, what we do for them is going to have an impact in their life versus what the radio station said was just blah, 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 blah.
Hablamos español.
Yeah.
Hello. You would think so, right?
Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting that, again, I've always enjoyed marketing myself. And early on, I realized the exceptional value of keeping it emotional.
Yes.
Because most people, Lourdes, as you know from your practice, and your practice that you work for is an orthodontic practice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. And so you're a specialty. And so you have to dance with your referral doctors along with dancing with the patient and the parent. More importantly, you're dancing with the mom, correct?
Correct.
And so with the marketing, I knew in my practice, mine was a cosmetic dental practice and a lifestyle practice where we did a lot of crown and bridge restorative. We did some Invisalign. We did some implant dentistry. And I knew that I had to speak a different language for those kinds of people also. And it wasn't factual stuff about, well, we'll put a crown on this tooth because the enamel's broken down and there's stress fracture. No, people didn't want to hear about that. They want a sense that you're really listening to them as an individual. And during the conversation that you have heard them. And I'm going to say that again, that you as a dental professional have heard them. And that in today's day and age with medical is not that common. But the request and need from our patients and the public, it is a very, very important and critical component. Am I hit? Is that resonating with you?
You nailed it. You nailed it. That's why, you know, in my estimation, treatment coordinators are treated most practices as a salesperson. In my view, a treatment coordinator is an integral part of your office because it does exactly what you just said. It's a liaison between the patient and the doctor. And the first thing that you do when the patient comes in is you need to listen and you need to figure out and find out what their goals are. What is it that brings them in and what lays underneath that goal? You know, I want to have straight teeth. Why do you want to have straight teeth? I want to have straight teeth because all my life I've gone through all of this and I was called names and I was told this, or I can't breathe correctly, or I'm in pain on my bite itself and I'm always uncomfortable, or I'm grinding, I'm cracking my teeth down. You have to find out the heart of the issue. And once you have that, then you can see, okay, this is what you're bringing to me. This is what your goals are. You want to have braces because of this. Okay, let's take a look and let's see what you bring in physically, right? So that's when the doctor comes in and you do that exam and you find out exactly what you're working with. And then the treatment coordinator puts together that heart, that need, that goal that the patient brings, and what we actually physically have with us, and then what the doctor that you're working with, you know that they're able to do. These amazing professionals, right?
Correct.
And then you translate that and you connect that and say, okay, Jimmy, this is what we're going to do. We're going to address this, what you brought, and we're going to fix this, and we're going to do it this way, and this is how we're going to get you started, and you're going to be done, and we're going to accomplish all of this. Once you do that, then your job is done. You don't have to do much more than that, you know? But you do need that integral part in there, because you're correct. The doctors... there was a guy, that a gentleman that designed the Pacific Dental Services. He used to say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it is exactly correct. Yes. And doctors will come to me. I mean, patients will come to me and say, you are the first person that actually has listened and had asked all these questions. I've seen two or three doctors and you by far are the one that actually connected everything. And that makes my day because that's exactly what I'm there to do. I'm there to do those, make those connections, you know, and have, get that person what they need.
Yeah. You know, the doctors need great people like you in their practices. We need them more than what we give credit for the need. You know, we graduate from dental school and we think that we kind of know it all and we're the leader and things are automatically going to happen. And oh, by the way, staff, you know, help me a little bit, but I'm going to tell you what to do. But you know, the thing that I learned through the years with my practice, Lourdes, is learn to listen to your staff first.
That's very intelligent. Yes. Yeah. That shows that you have a lot of experience.
Yeah. I have a few miles under my wheels and I learned listen to the staff because they're the frontline people. They're the ones that hear the comments from the patients. They're the ones that hear and understand the emotions first before the doctor does. If the doctor ever tries to hear and or listen and ask, one of the most favorite things that I learned in my practice was to, like you did, learn how to communicate effectively with people. And once I did, I started understanding and hearing and sensing and feeling things from my patients. And once I could link up on that emotional level with them, they knew it. They perceived it. You know, when we were in high school and growing up, we could tell in a second when someone liked us and approved us and would invite us into their group. And we could also tell in a second when someone brushed us off, didn't like us for some reason. We had no interaction with them per se, but for some reason, immediately just looking at us, they didn't like us. And so we avoided them. Same thing happens with the patients. And the sooner that we learn and appreciate and honor and respect the patients, their emotion, their perspective, their points of view, their fears, their apprehensions, then we can utilize that information to create a friendship, an alignment with them. And that's, again, the value of great staff people is that you can go in and clear the brush for us, then translate that information to us. And if we're smart enough, like we think we are, us doctors, we take that information and we really cement the relationship and the deal with them. And, you know, it's kind of like, and I know you've experienced this, Lourdes, just by listening to you talk, is that once you have that communication exchange with the patient and you see them connecting with you by their body language, their facial expression.
Totally, yes.
By the words that they use, by the gestures with their hands, and they sit up a little straighter and they, in their mind, they're going, finally.
Yes.
You know that moment when it occurs, don't you?
I have a lot of boxes of Kleenex in the office when I'm talking to people.
I bet you do.
Because I get that a lot. I would say right now, about 50% of our patients are adults, and a lot of them have gone through quite a bit. So when somebody tells them, no, you're not imagining things, yes, I understand exactly what you're telling me. And yes, we can help you. I do get a lot of that release and that emotional reaction, yes. And yes, it makes your day.
And I'm going to put words in your mouth here, so tell me if I'm thinking wrong, that, you know, the emotion is a result of, again, what we said, finally, Lourdes, you get me.
Right.
You've listened to me. Finally, I have restored hope in the possibility that my dream, my life with a smile that I love and appreciate that I don't have to hide any longer, I can start living that life finally.
Right. Yes.
Is that it, you think?
That is correct. Yes. Yes. Because they've listened to the stereotypical answers, you know, like in 24 months, you're going to need more upper and lower braces. Okay. Da-da-da. You know, the mechanical, like we were talking about earlier, that canned radio spot that told people just go to this office, they speak Espanol and they, you know, just go there. Right? The stereotypical answer that they've been getting to the you, Peter or James or Mary are here and I'm going to take care of you. You're going to get here what you need to get. Okay? And then, yes, I'll show you how we're going to do that. But I heard you and we're going to take care of that. You know, that's a huge difference for people. And it's just the same for doctors. The only thing that I change when I talk to doctors, of course, you guys are so smart, right? What you say just flies right over my head a lot of times. But I change the language when I speak with doctors so that, of course, it's the same thing. It's the same message. We're caring for people, and this is how we're doing it. I would do with my uncle or my sister or my brother or my nephew or my niece, you know? But this is how we're doing it, and I use more of a technical language to do that.
Yeah.
We're using these procedures and this is the diagnosis, but at the end, it's the same message. We know why you're sending doctor, the patient to us. We know what you want us to do. This is what we've seen, and this is what we're going to do for them. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You just kind of change the level to address the person that is listening to you or the receiver,
yeah,
the person that you needed to communicate to, whether it's, you know, one-on-one basis or in a mass basis. You'll be amazed. Sometimes I have a mother sitting with me in the office and we're going over everything that Jimmy needs, right? And we're talking about Jimmy. But as I'm talking about Jimmy and I'm discussing the different symptoms and I'm discussing what is it that you feel, how is this, I can see mom out of the corner of my eye just shaking her head or nodding. And I know that she is answering for herself, not only for Jimmy. So at the end of the treatment, you know, they start to tell me, well, I have a lot of headaches and I do this. I'm like, okay, mom, you're next. We're going to take care of that. Or my husband snores all the time. Okay, well, daddy needs to come and see me, you know, or my sister or my brother. And you can do that just in 1 hour in your office. Imagine the reach that you can have, you know, if you expand that. And nowadays with internet, like radio spots or TV spots are not as beneficial, but things like this podcast, this could have an amazing reach to people.
Yeah. It's interesting that the communication skills that you learned and that I learned also, I thought that there was some complicated formula to it. And when you break it down, it's very simple. Just speak to the person like you would speak to your spouse that you love or the children that you love. And what a great gift, you know, in communicating with a mother that's sitting there with her child and you see out of the corner of the eye, teardrops starting to flow down the face. What a great experience for you as a treatment coordinator. You're articulating to the child and you're seeing and sharing with them that, hey, you know, you're going to be a-okay, young lady or young man. And the mother's going, thank you. You're going to be contributing to the quality of my child's life. What a great thing to and position to have, Lourdes, for you in the practice, but also for your orthodontics and the treatment. What a gift to give to people, to give to the mother and to give to the child.
Right. That's why I love what I do, doctor. That's why I love what I do. That's why, you know, what you were saying earlier, doctors to your staff, treatment coordinators are way more than somebody that reads the codes from insurance and puts some numbers together. That is the end of the whole thing. You know, this is how you make it happen. But that's like nothing out of the whole experience and how it can build your practice. It could build or kill your practice.
I've always thought that I had treatment coordinators in my practice also, and I would have normally two, often three chairside dental assistants, and I gave them all permission to be a treatment coordinator. There's nothing wrong with a well-educated and chairside assistant that could communicate effectively with people for them to take charge of the patient when I left the room, become the leader in the room at that point. And if you see a segue into communicating with the patient, do it, because two sentences out of you can be worth 20 minutes from the doctor explaining, and the doctor creates confusion where the chairside person has empathy and understanding and appreciation, and they can say the same thing in two sentences and sell the case and close it.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you'll be amazed how many times the doctors walk out of the office or the operatory, right? And the patients just turn to us and say, what did he just say? Or they ask you, should I do what he's telling me to do? Yes, of course. And you learned that through years and miles of flying. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I really wanted my assistants when I was getting ready to walk back into the room to catch me and say, okay, doctor, now I want you to go in here. I want you to act like know what's going on. Just don't act stupid. Say yes, and the case is closed. Can you do that? Yes, I can. And thank you, thank you, thank you for communicating with the patient. What was more important to me, Lourdes, was that I knew that my patients, as you said, were being taken care of. I knew that they were heard and emotionally they were met at the same level. And so that empathetic factor came in and the patients felt so at home. They felt like they could trust our office in general, and they were willing to say yes and willing to prepay and sign the check and just hand it over and say, let's do this.
Because they trusted you. They trusted that you could help them and tell, you know, give them what they want, what they needed. Yes, at that point you earned it. But see, people usually, if you hear that when somebody needs to make a big purchase or important purchase in their life, they need to hear it three times at least, right? So if you have your receptionist, whoever does the intake and get that patient in, tell the patient, oh yes, we can help you. This is exactly what we do. You're in the right place. Okay. They don't need to do much more than that. Okay. Then the treatment coordinator do the same thing. I hear you. This is exactly what we're here to do. Yes, we can help you. By the time the doctor comes in and you just do your thing, which we know is amazing. We can't, you know, nobody can do what the office is doing without you. But once they hear you, and then I come back around and I say, well, this is how we're going to do it. There is not much more that you need to do. That is it. I have a need, and three different people have told me here, this is how we're going to do it, and it's going to be taken care of. That's it. It's done.
Yep. That's it. That plain and simple. Let's bring this home now, Lourdes, and I want to ask you two questions.
Sure.
What would be the greatest piece of advice that you would give to the doctors as far as the growth of the practice as it relates to staff?
Think about your employees as more than just somebody that sits at a desk and answers the phone. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. We're just going to get somebody from 9 to 5 that answers the phone and puts numbers on a paper. You have to look at your staff as integral parts of your team. If you want to succeed, you need to have them on your side. You want them educated as to what your philosophy is of treatment. What is it that you do? What is it that you can do for people? Because they will bring you people. People are out there that need your help. So if your staff understands what you're doing and where you're coming from, that you want to take care of people, they will help you. If they don't, if they think that the only aspect of the office is to make money and take credit cards and make sure that the insurance approves what you're doing, then that's what you're going to have. You have a very limited practice that you're not going to enjoy. You're not going to enjoy your day-to-day life because you're a healthcare provider. You know, you're not an insurance coordinator. You're not an insurance employee. That's not what you dedicated your life to. So you're going to make your life very, very miserable, very, very small. But if you have an educated team to support you that know what your philosophy is and is there to support what you want and do it correctly, of course, they have to be trained. But I would say emphasize as much as you can the training on communication, communicating and treating and dealing with people and the healthcare aspect of it. What is it that you're there to do? We're not changing tires. We're taking care of people.
Yeah. You know, I've always proclaimed that in order to be a really, truly effective leader, you have to really like the persons. And I'm going to use a word that, you know, some people go, don't use that in a dental office or whatever. But at times, you know, learn to love them as people and appreciate them as individuals. And they're so valuable to you. Treat them with respect and raise them up. Raise them up. Now, the second question I have for you is, what would you tell your staff or any doctor's staff members, what their value as it relates to the practice growth?
Okay, so you can tell people until you're blue in the face how much you value that person. And you can give them bonuses and you can do whatever you want to do. I think that personally, what I felt that helped me the most grow as a dental professional and becoming more and more valuable for my doctors was where doctors would treat me like a colleague and they would teach me. You know, doctors would teach me, Lourdes, this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm, look at this x-ray. They literally, I've learned so much. I've been so lucky to work with these amazing doctors that taught me so much about what they did and why they did it. You know, as opposed to just overlooking me, like I was just an accessory to bring in or mix a couple of, potions and hand them a couple of instruments. I have had the luck of working with doctors that treated me as a colleague and as a dental professional, which is what I am. And that, I think, to me is the most important part. At the end of the day, to feel that you're being part of a team, that you've been, your work to help all these people that day, you know, and that you were integral part to do that. You were not just there to answer the phone or to just bring a whatever, you know, no, you were part of that team that took care of that person in one or another capacity. Just treat every person in your office as if they are that important to take care of that patient, because it is. You can be amazing. You can be an amazing doctor and have the best dental assistant in the world working with you. And then you have somebody in the office that looks at a patient sideways or they mistreat them or they speak to them wrongly, and it defeats everything else. The caliber of your dentistry, the caliber of what you just did, the heart that you put into it is now worth nothing. It's that simple and that easy. So every part, every person in your office has to be where you are. You know what they say, the weakest, we're only as good as the weakest link? Totally true.
Right, it is. Well said. And I think that brings back the point that you were making earlier, that people don't care how much you know until they really know and sense and feel how much you care. And if we paraphrase that, you know, say your staff really doesn't care, doctor, how much you know, until you start sharing with them how much you care. And I think that's a phrase that has been around for hundreds of years. And it's one of those things, Lourdes, that with all of the technology that we have available to us, some of those sayings from way, way, way back can have so much more of an impact upon the success of our practice than modern technology. It's the humanity with us. And our humanity loves face-to-face. Our humanity loves visual respect, verbal respect, affirmation. And so people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Especially nowadays, with all of the things that we have around us, all with the technologies and the phones and the apps and all of the different ways and the bells and the whistles, at the end of the day, yes, that is the most important part.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure visiting with you today, Lourdes. I wanted your perspective from the other side of the handpiece, the other side of the chair, the other side of the desk, and bring your expertise as far as a treatment coordinator and a dental practice growth. You shared some great information, and I hope that our audience takes away from this what we want them to, is that they can be superpowers in the dental office. So thank you for being with me, Lourdes.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for making it easy. And thank you so much also for giving me the opportunity to inspire all of these dental professionals. I really appreciate it.
You bet. And that's our podcast for today. At the end of the show notes, I will have Lourdes' contact information. So if you want to reach out to her and have a one-to-one Zoom or a phone call with her, I know that she'll be more than happy to meet with you and visit with you and share further and help you grow to become the dental professional that you have dreamed about. So thank you again. This is Dr. John.